All right, we're going to get ourselves going this morning. Brother Perry Lemon from Concord, North Carolina, is going to come and start us off as our in our studies with a study about where our Bible came from and what it's all about. So Brother Perry is going to come this morning and start us.
We need about a minute.
Could you give us 1 minute?
1 minute.
We just got the
master. Okay, now they need a minute. Come here, buddy. You talk for a minute, and it's got an extra minute on there for you anyway, so let's see. Okay, there you go. That way they didn't take your minute.
All right. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be here for the week. And I do appreciate Grace School of the Bible and Brother Richard. I would like to say that if you're not supporting a mission, that would be a good mission to support. Our assembly began to support them. And we also, just before I came up here, the Sunday before last Sunday, we just decided to up our support to Grace School of the Bible. So there's no other greater mission that I know that you can support to get the Word of God outrightly divided. So I would encourage you as a preacher in your assembly or just anybody here that would like to support missions to support them. And I'm grateful for what the study of the Word of God's done for me and the assembly in Concord, North Carolina, for the people that attend there. Some of you have had the pleasure of meeting my dad. Some of you have not. My dad is just, he's 76 years old and he's turning flips talking to everybody he can. First thing he does is gives them the gospel. And then he gets to asking them if they know who their apostle is, and he goes on from there.
Amen.
And you just have to meet him to understand he talks all the time. And it's most of the time he's talking, it's about the Lord and about the Word of God. So,
anytime you're ready, you just have to unmute it.
Unmute it?
No, I'm not ready.
Hey, you're eating up this time. Turn the clock off.
Somehow the recording.
Yeah, push it on the wheel. Yeah. It's on now. It's on.
He's not ready.
Okay, it's ready to go. You're ready when they get ready.
We're just loading the master.
No, it's
I thought you were the master. Mm-hmm. How many of you folks are here for the very first time? You've never been here before. Well, look around the room at all the people. All right. When you get your name tag, on the internet last night, someone sent me a note that said, how about pan back with the camera and show the crowd? So we'll do that. In fact, if you want to do it now, Mike, you can kind of do that so that people... Oh, he's ready to go. Well, good. We don't need filler now.
All right. God gives his word is what I want to talk to you about for the next little while. If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And as you're turning, those of you that know me know you. I just need to read something to get you laughing, get you started. Laughter's good for you. You know, it lowers the blood pressure. The preacher's teeth. A preacher had all of his remaining teeth pulled out. New dentures were being ordered. The first Sunday, he only preached 10 minutes. The second Sunday, he preached only 20 minutes. On the third Sunday, he preached an hour and 25 minutes. When asked about this by some of the congregation, he responded, "The first Sunday, my gums were so sore it hurt to talk. The second Sunday, my new dentures were hurting me a lot. The third Sunday, I accidentally grabbed my wife's dentures, and I couldn't shut up." So, I don't have my wife's dentures, so I'll try not to take anyone else's speaking time this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together to study your word. And I pray for the next few moments now, your spirit, Lord, as we look into your word, will help us as we study together. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And if you look at that verse and you think about what that verse says, that verse tells you that the scriptures are given, and they're given by God, and as they're given by God, they're given by inspiration. And you can count on the Word of God being the inspired Word of God that you hold in that King James Bible as the Word of God to English-speaking people. And I'm glad that this conference is about the Word of God, because the day in which you and I live, there's a lot of people don't, there's a lot of bad ideas floating around about things and about what to believe and about what not to believe. I got a printout here off of my computer that I printed out. It says that the World Council of Churches has announced that it has reached a broad consensus on appropriate missionary conduct, but not all Christians agree with it. Brian Tyndall is troubled by one section that instructs people to accept what other religions consider to be holy, to be true and holy. And that's where we're at today in the world. They're wanting everybody to grab everything and get a hold of what other religions believe. The reality is that what we're called to accept as Christians as truth is the Word of God. He points out, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so the truth that Christians have been given is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Since that is the only thing believers have been called to accept as truth, Tyndall opposes the call to accept what other religions teach is true and holy. Although he does go on to say that, you know, people as human beings should be treated as such, not as, you know, some religions and denominations want to crush everybody that's not on their side. And I'm not like that. I like to share the gospel. I'd like for folks to see the Word of God the way I see the Word of God and understand what God's given for us to read and understand and to know. All scripture, when you look at that word scripture there, it is given, it's given by inspiration. The word means a document that is holy writ. It's holy writ. It's written by God. That which is written down is what you have from the scriptures. Then it says, given by inspiration of God. That means it's divinely breathed. It's God breathed. Look with me, if you will, at Psalms 33. Psalms 33. Look what the psalmist said about the Word of God. You know, you're made up of flesh, blood, and bone. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit as well. God created Adam there in the garden. He formed him. He had the body. Then God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul. And so today, as you sit there looking this way, you're made up of body, soul, and spirit. When that spirit of yours, when that breath that you have leaves your body, your soul is going to be with the Lord. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Now, if you're a believer today, you'll go to paradise. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 that he would rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. And then you think about those that are not believers. The Bible tells you where they go. They go to hell. When that soul leaves that body, they go to hell. And I hope that you're a believer today. And if you're not, you need to be a believer. But that breath, it's God-breathed. The Word of God is given by the Spirit of God. Psalms 33, verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God gave the Word of God. He gave it out, and the Spirit of God brings that Word to you and I in the form of the Bible that you and I have today. And I think Kenneth Wiest said it the best when he said, inspiration is the act of God, the Holy Spirit, enabling the Bible writers to write down God-chosen words infallibly. And you need to understand that Bible that you hold in your hands is exactly, it tells you exactly what you need to know, exactly what God wants you to know. It is God-breathed, and even though men wrote it down, God's Spirit inspired His precious Word, and these men, the Bible authors, penned it down. And the words are very important. Some people say that the words are not important, that it's the thought. And you can get into all kinds of things what people believe today. If you will, look with me at Psalms chapter 12. And I'm not going to stay here very long because I think someone else has this passage of Scripture, but I just want you to see what it says. And then also Proverbs chapter number 30. Psalms chapter number 12, and then Proverbs chapter number 30. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 12, verse number 6, the words, with an S, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God gives His word, and God keeps His word. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. The word of God, the words of God, every word of God is pure. God dictated His word through human authors so that the words they wrote down were the very words God Himself determined would make up the Holy Scriptures that you and I have today. You need to understand whatever the Scriptures say, God said it. The Scriptures are exactly what God said. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Look at verse number 1. 2 Samuel 23 verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said. What did he say? The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. David himself gives a testimony that God the Holy Spirit spoke through him, and that the word of God was in his tongue. David also is talked about in Mark chapter 12. Look at Mark chapter 12 with me, if you will. Verse number 35. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? What's verse 36? For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord Jesus Christ says that David said, and it's the Scriptures. And Jesus says, for David himself said, by the Holy Ghost. How did David say it? He said it by the Holy Ghost. It's given by inspiration of God. It's given by God's Holy Spirit to man. He said there in verse 36, for David himself said, by the Holy Ghost. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that said that. So the Lord Jesus Christ said David spake by the Holy Ghost. And then look at Acts chapter number 1. Peter also used another passage of Scripture. and said that the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 16. Men and brethren, this scripture, you remember the scripture, the definition of that? It's holy writ. It's God breathed. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Here Peter talks about another passage where that David spake, and as David spake, he spake by the Holy Ghost. And as he speaks by the Holy Ghost, you and I have that word today written down for us in this King James Bible to English-speaking people. And I'm glad to know that I can take this book and I can treasure this book and live by this book. Not only that, but even the words that Jesus spake were from God. Look at John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. Look at verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word singular that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I hope you see that and don't need any explanation on that. Verse 49, for I have spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Look at John 14. John chapter number 14. Verse number 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Those things that Jesus said by the Father, when the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, he's telling them that they will know and remember these things and understand. He's going to teach them the words that Christ spoke. But you understand the things Christ spoke, he spoke with the Father. He's in total agreement with what the Father wants, and he says those things that the Father sends him to say. John 16. John chapter number 16. Verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What he hears, he speaks. Do you see that? He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And it's that Spirit of God. It's God breathed. Look at John 17, verse number 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Not only do you have Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and on through the books, Hosea, not only do you have Peter writing, not only do you have the Apostle Paul writing, but Jesus Christ himself, as he speaks and as those words are recorded for you and I, he gives the credit to God, and it's the Spirit that brings those things to us. And you have to understand that God's Word is totally inspired of God. Even though man takes their own personality and God allowed it for them to write down the things and they used ways and to put things down there for you and I, it is exactly what God wants you to know and wants you to understand. When Satan said in the garden,
Yea, hath God said. He also said, ye shall not surely die, but God said you would die, didn't you? If they eat of the fruit of there in the garden. So you understand that even though Satan said things, and there's lies recorded in the Bible that Satan said, ye shall not surely die. You know that's a lie, but it's God's inspired word to you so that you can understand God, understand what he's doing eternally, and that even by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will reconcile all things unto himself. I say, whether it be things in heaven or things in earth. So the word of God's given to you that it might help you, that you might understand. And then the words written are the words that God determined would be written. Look at Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter number 31. Exodus chapter number 31, just more proof that the word's given by God's Spirit and that it is the inspired word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that gave man God's words to write. Exodus chapter number 31, verse number 18. Exodus 31:18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, watch it, written with the finger of God. As Moses was there and those Ten Commandments were given to him there on the mountain of God, the Bible says they're written with the finger of God. Look at Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. There's something else that speaks about the finger of God dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked upon the face of this earth in Luke chapter number 11. The Pharisees and the scribe, they were just giving Jesus Christ a hard time, and they were saying that he cast out devils by Beelzebub. The Bible says in verse 19, Luke 11:19, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Look at verse 20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you. Now, if Moses gets the Ten Commandments written with the finger of God, and Jesus Christ says he's casting out devils by the finger of God, if you go back over to Matthew chapter 12, you get the answer to what the finger of God is. And it also helps you understand where the Word of God comes from. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 28, or verse 27. It's a parallel passage. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Now understand that the finger of God is the Spirit of God. And God's word is given by his Spirit. If you will turn with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I've got a brother I've tried to talk to about right division. My dad's tried to talk to, and he's heard and heard and heard. He's told me that he does believe that Christ died for his sins, was buried, and rose again. He says he has his faith and trust in Christ. But he also, at the same time, has this thing of speaking with tongues. He believes in some things, and I've tried to talk to him, tried to show him things, and I just... He just looks at me and he says, but I've experienced it. I've felt it. He said, you don't know till you do it. And he's just going on, and I've told him about this passage, and folks, listen, it's not your experiences. I just talked to a preacher that I've known for years from the Baptist denominations last week, And he made a statement something like, well, if God can, if the Lord can go with me. Like, I guess because we don't shout and run all over the place and hoop and holler and do all the things that they say is what being spiritual is and having God is. I looked right dead in his eyeballs, just as serious, and I said, look. I said, if you go anywhere and the Lord's in your heart, he's with you.
Amen.
He had to look at me, and it about ripped his head off. He said, oh, I just pick him. But you know, that's the way they are. They don't understand the Scriptures because they don't want to understand them. They want to stay in the denominationalism. They want to stay where they're at. They want to be comfortable about what they've got. And I tell you something, I want to know what God wants me to know. And if you want to know what God wants you to know, the way you do that is you take down this King James Bible to English-speaking people, and you look at it, and you study it, and you try to understand it, and you got to get it rightly divided. This passage right here in 2 Peter tells you it's not about experiences. It's not about what you experience. Brother Gary Jordan, we used to, when we were in the Baptist way, you know, we used to bring people to the front and anoint them, pray for them. We'd done that for years. Never did see anybody healed. Seen a woman want it so bad one time she acted like she fell out in the floor. She got up with the same problems. Brother Gary looked at me one day. He said, you know, he said, I'm going to quit coming up here and praying with y'all. He said, I think I'm hindering everything. And he's the very one that saw Brother Richard on the Saturday program. Gave me the tape. He said, if he'd have been speaking on anything else, I probably wouldn't have watched him. He said, but I watched him. He said, you need to watch this. We don't have anointing all around the building anymore. We don't call people up anymore. We pray for one another. Amen. Paul prayed for his friends in the ministry. He even said, oh, God had mercy on me. You know, and we ought to pray one for another. But this stuff that people are doing today, getting from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that stuff's not for you today. And you need to get in this Bible. You need to get in this Bible that God has inspired and given to you and get a hold of it so that you understand that stuff. So the whole thing is, when you go to doing things, it's not experiences. It's not about what you can get on this earth. You ever pass those signs going down the road with churches? It says, God wants you to prosper. Well, I almost want to go over there and put a little sign on there. And he also said, sell everything you got. Give to the poor. Is that prospering? But, you know, they wouldn't get it, probably, because they wouldn't want to get it. Right here, Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Go back to verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor. Watch what he says here. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Well, how are you going to have those things always in remembrance if he's deceased? I believe what he's saying right there, that he's going to endeavor to write it down, to put it on paper, so that even after he's gone, these words will still be around. And they're around for you and I today. Peter's not alive on planet Earth today. But what he wrote, infallibly given to him by God's Holy Spirit, is here for you and I to read and study. He says in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter said, we didn't just make up a bunch of stories. We didn't just do it. We actually seen the transfiguration there on the mount, and that would be something for a human being to see, I'm telling you. Peter's excited. He wants the Lord to, let's do it. Set it up now. But you see, it's not in experiences, Peter says. Verse 17. For he received from God that the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount, We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Peter said it's not the experience, it's not what we saw, it's the word. And you remember, if you go over there and read, you'll see that God told Peter and them, he said, "Hear ye him." Peter's all excited about what he's saying and what he's seeing there. But God says it's what's said. Hear him. Don't worry about what you've seen. Hear him. But the experience is there for you and I, wrote down for us. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And boy, that's going on everywhere, isn't it? Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Human man, by his nature, never wrote the Word of God on his own. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, God's Word is inspired, and it's written down through human beings that have been inspired by God's Holy Spirit. And the words that you and I have today, we can depend on them and trust them as God-given. Look at Acts 28. Acts 28. Notice what Paul says here in Acts 28, verse number 25. And while they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Watch what Paul speaks. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, which is Isaiah the prophet, unto our fathers. Paul says what Isaiah said is Scripture. It's spoken by the Holy Ghost. You see that? I hope you do. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14. Paul even tells you that what he's given is by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, Paul said, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What Paul wrote were the very commandments of the Lord. When Moses was on the mountain and God gave him the Ten Commandments, how did he get it? By the finger of God, by the Spirit of God. He got those commandments from the Lord. He put them down. Paul says the same thing. What I've gotten is from the Lord. It's the commandment of the Lord. What he's got is given by God's Spirit as well. And you just have this book coming around here, and you have that book there laying on the table or laying in your lap. It's given to you. I understand men were the author of the human pen that wrote it down. But God is the master author by His Spirit, given the Word, inspired that it could be penned down so that you and I could have a book and hold a book that we could trust the very words. Because they're pure words of God. And God's so excited about this book for you and I that it's equal with Himself. God's Word is equal to God Himself. You remember 1 John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. You see, the Word of God is equal to Himself. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, a two-edged sword, you can put that sword in and you can cut both ways. And the Word of God is sharper than that. sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Something you need to understand about God's Word. God's Word will tell you who you are. If you'll sit down with the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God, and you let the Word of God speak to your heart, the Word of God will tell you who you are and what you need. It'll tell you things that will help you clean your life up day by day. You say, well, I didn't think it was all about works. No, it's not about works. It's about taking God's Word and letting God's work in you as you believe it. God's Word will effectually work in you if you believe it. And that's what he's talking about. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. But understand here that the Word of God here, he says, is sharper than any two-edged sword. He compares it to a two-edged sword. Now look at Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verse number, excuse me, Revelation 19, verse number 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. Heaven's open, he that sat, the white horse, and he that sat upon him. Verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus Christ himself is called the Word of God. Verse 15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. It's the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 talks about. Jesus Christ here, the words that he speak, they're compared to the sword as well. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Jesus Christ is equal to the Word. The Word of God's compared to the sword. Christ comes back and the words he speaks as a sword. The Word of God is equal to God himself. Ephesians 6. 17. And take the helmet of salvation, which Paul gives you and I. You have the battle armor. He says here in verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? Which is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Look at Galatians chapter number 3. I'll try to move a little bit so I can get... I'll probably get through early, but I want to make sure. Galatians chapter number 3. Verse number 8. And the Scripture... The what? What is Scripture? It's Holy Writ. It's God-breathed. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. What does the foreseeing? It's the Scripture. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Did Abraham have a Bible in his day? Had the Bible ever been written when Abraham was here on earth? No, it wasn't. But it says the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel of Abraham. Well, how did Abraham get the message? God gave it to him. And God's Word, my friend, is equal to God himself. It is God inspired. Psalms 39. You understand the Word of God is, if it's equal to God, guess what it does? As God sits in heaven, as God sits upon his throne today, you're sitting down here on planet Earth. The Bible says no man's ever seen God. So how can I know that God spoke to me, not in an audible voice, but from a book? See, there's no other book like this book. Now, you can pick up magazines, and they're inspired by whoever the author is who wrote it. I mean, Sports Illustrated, all these sports magazines, all these books and things that man has wrote. The man that wrote it was inspired to write the words down, but it's not the Word of God. You see, this book's different. This book is holy writ. It's given to you by God, and it's the words within the pages of this book that'll change your life if you believe them, if you let them work in your life. Because, you see, this book is just like God. You remember Hebrews 4:12? It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's just like God. Look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I said it wrong. I do that in our assembly all the time. Sorry. Psalms 139. What did I say?
39.
Left the one off. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, look at verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down city and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. David said that God had searched him and known him. David said God understood when he sat down and when he got up. Look down at verse number 15. David said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, while as yet there was none of them. You see, there's not another book in all the world like this book. You think about that passage right there and let it sink down in you a little bit. What I want to point out to you out of that is the fact that God knows you. He knows all about you. And this book, as you read through God's Word, it'll grab you if you'll let it. And if you'll believe it, it'll change your life. Now go back to where I started this morning, and I want to wrap up. At 2 Timothy 3:16. I want you to notice here, and also as you're turning back, get 1 Corinthians 15 as well. As you're turning back to the pages, and I want you to notice just what Paul says here to young Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Watch verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You understand that? When Timothy was a child, as he looked at the Word of God, did he have any of the writings that Paul had placed out? Did he have any of the right division knowledge as a child as he come through the Scriptures? You see, God gives His Word. God gives His Word that you and I might understand salvation and know how it come about. The prophets prophesied about Christ dying on the cross. Psalms 22, Isaiah 53, you could go on. But if, as you read through God's Word, then you come to the writings of the Apostle Paul for you and I today, he just puts it out for you how that Christ died for our sins on the cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day. But young Timothy here has understood the Scriptures about the Lamb of God, about the sacrifice of the Lamb. And he says they'll make you wise unto salvation. And as you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3, Paul gives you the gospel that he preached, he tells you in verse 1. And he says, if you keep it in memory, you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. And I hope you have that in your memory today. Are you saved today? Now, you got a crowd this big together. Hopefully everybody's going to heaven, but probably not. Maybe not. I don't know. But if you'll take God's Word and you'll believe it and you'll let the Word of God work in your heart, when you believe it, God will save you. Do you know that? And you that are saved, If you get in this book a little more, read it a little more, you know what it'll do to you? It'll clean you up. If you'll believe. Big words, isn't it? Verse 3, "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. "And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day." How did He do it? According to the Scriptures. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Your faith will come by the blessed book. And if you're saved today, if you already have faith in Christ, your faith as a believer, as you live every day in the world, it'll increase. It'll grow. It'll be more. If you'll let the Word of God speak to you. I want to read you this in closing. Now, I'll leave this with you. Before I read this, though, I want to say to you today, if you've never trusted Christ, do it today. The moment you believe that Christ died for your sins and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, the moment you believe that, God's Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ and you'll be one with Him and you'll be a part of the body. Those that are believers here today, you'll be a part of what we're a part of, the body of Christ. Let me pray before I read this. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time we've had to share together in your word. And Lord, I pray that your word would be as real to everyone in this place today as it is to you. Amen. The wicker basket. I don't know if you've ever heard this story or not. The wicker basket. The story is told of an old man who lived on a farm in the mountains of eastern Kentucky with his young grandson. Each morning, Grandpa was up early, sitting at the table, reading from his old worn-out Bible. His grandson, who wanted to be just like him, imitate him. Had brain block. His grandson, who wanted to be just like him, tried to imitate him in any way he could. One day the grandson asked, "Papa, I try to read the Bible just like you, but I don't understand it. And what I do understand, I forget as soon as I close the book. What good does it do reading the Bible?" The grandfather quietly turned from putting coal in the stove and said, "Take this old wicker basket, coal basket, down to the river and bring back a basket of water." The boy did as he was told, even though as the water leaked out before he could get back to the house. The grandfather laughed and said, "You'll have to move a little faster next time," and sent him back to the river with a basket to try again. This time the boy ran faster, but after the old wicker basket was empty before he returned home. Out of breath, he told his grandfather that it was impossible to carry water in a basket, and he went and got a bucket instead. The old man said, "I want a basket of water, not a bucket of water. You can do this. You're not trying hard enough." And he went out the door to watch the boy again. At this point, the boy knew it was impossible, but he wanted to show his grandfather that even if he ran as fast as he could, the water would still leak out. Before he got far at all, the boy scooped the water. The boy scooped the water and ran hard. But when he reached his grandfather, the basket was empty again. Out of breath, he said, "You see, Papa, it's useless." "So you think it's useless?" the old man said. "Look at the basket." The boy looked at the basket, and for the first time he realized that the basket looked different. Instead of a dirty old wicker coal basket, it was clean. So that's what happens when you read the Bible. You might not understand or remember everything, but when you read it, it will change you from the inside out. And that's what I say about the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And God's Word will effectually work in you if you believe it.